This is the gate of heaven. And the second one is, Jesus said, get to work. That's the summary of today's message. Since last week, we have been talking about dream. Maybe some of you might think, or some people, oh, Paul, did you not see the news? So many things happening. 1 million people in a day, and politicians, and economic fault, and so many stuff. And do you still talk, are you still talking about hope? Are you still talking about dream? Are you still talking about something to do? Yes, I am. I think it is the time really we need to focus on what God wants to do through our lives and our community. It is the time we need to ponder what's the meaning of our life. Because we have hope in Jesus' resurrection. Resurrection means death to life, hopelessness to hope, and meaninglessness to meaningful life. And we need to dream it. Dream. It is about God's dream in our lives. God's dream and vision in our lives much bigger than what we think we have. It is a God-sized dream. Oh yes. It is likely more than what we are doing for a living. And let me tell you, what we are doing for a living is very important. I mean, taking care of all kinds of bills and maintaining your house and so many things and your family, taking care of your family is critical in our lives. But what we are talking about today is very important, significant. It is about God's dream in our lives and community. It requires us to play in God's creative plan. It is supposed to honor God. Last week I told you, the first one, it is supposed to honor God and bless other people around us and bring you joy. Three of them have to go together. Honor God and bless other people and bring you joy. A God-sized dream. Then what is the dream you have in your personal life? What is the dream you have in your life and our Wesley family? I believe a God-sized dream starts from the moment we believe God is with us. God is present in every single moment of our lives, and God wants us to do and participate in God's mission through our lives. And we have people around us who have shown us examples by their faith journey. So last week, I asked you to think about three people. Three people you really admire and who brought impact on your life and questioned why. Who are they? Why? They have touched your heart and molded your faith and made you hope to be like them. And we can learn more about how we may grow in our faith and cultivate our attitude and gratitude toward God and the people around us. So today, we will continue to talk about a God-sized dream. And let me just remind you, God speaks to us and gets our attention in our lives while we are living with so many questions and confusion. In our scripture reading today, Jacob was fleeing from his brother. Fleeing, he was running away for life because he took his brother's birthright, which was supposed to be given to his brother. It was a ordinary place, or it was a really tough place in the wilderness. He didn't have have a roof or any house or tent that protected him. It was just a place, and he took a stone for a pillar. It was a tough night, but God used his restless night to get his attention. And that's the moment a shift took place in his life. It was the moment an ordinary life, ordinary place became an extraordinary place. It was the moment Jacob's self-selected life path becomes a God-selected life. Yes, it was a spoiler alert on the screen. So, verse 16 said, Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know that. Isn't it our story? Every day, we feel like routine and mundane, and we don't feel any new sometimes. But Jacob said, surely, in this time, today, in this place, God is with us. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? And he sees something he didn't see, but now he sees something in his dream and find God's presence in his life. He stole his brother's birthright, but it was not his own. It was not his birthright. So you have seen, many of you have seen this film, Catch Me If You Can. Leonardo, he was playing a real character. He was playing a person named Frank, a con man, who really acted out of all the identity he wanted. He traveled around the world writing bad checks to support a lifestyle he didn't make. And he presented himself as an airline pilot to get to all the places around the world. And he didn't fly the plane, but he had the uniform so that he could ride for free. So that is the scariest thing. He presented himself with the false identity of a doctor, the false identity of a college professor, and a lawyer. And Tom Hanks, he was the FBI agent chasing this guy. And finally, when he caught him, Frank went to prison. And it's interesting, because God often gets our attention in our brokenness, and we discover our true birthright in the most difficult moment. There is a difference between identity and birthright, so all of us share the same identity. You and I, we are all the children of God, living under the kingship of Jesus Christ, and our birthright is the individual purpose that God has for each one of us. It is the way God created us and gave us our mission in our lives. So the film, Catch Me If You Can, it is based on a real story. So while Frank was in prison, he discovered his true birthright. He's the guy, real man. And he didn't have to steal an airplane pilot birthright. He didn't have to pretend as if he was a doctor with a false doctorate or certificate. Later, he made a company and became the CEO. And his number one customer was the FBI, who caught him. It is a security company, and he is helping the FBI tracing down identity thief and making our identities more secure. That was his true birthright. Let's go back to the Jacob story. What Jacob discovers through God, being at the top of his ladder in his dream. That was a revelation. Revelation of the presence of God. God is there, here, right here. At the moment, Jacob discovers his true birthright. And his true birthright was not being a con man. Instead, God created him for a unique mission in his life. Jacob couldn't find his mission before, until the moment when he finally recognized God's presence. Because he only had interest on somebody else. His brother's one. And he was struggling with that. And so God has to keep clarifying it in his life. And Jacob took the stone after the dream and poured the oil on the top of it. That ordinary place became his memorial place. And I believe it could happen in our lives. In your home, in your office, or during your morning walk, God speaks to you and you find your identity much bigger than your daily job. And a few chapters later, after Jacob discovered his identity and birthright, God changed his name from Jacob, which means a con man, to Israel, which means the one who struggled with God and find victory with God. So last week I asked you to find three important people in your faith journey. Today, I want to give you some questions. Three questions. The first one is, what is it that God speaks to you about your life? And what is your God-sized dream? And what do you think of your calling God gives you in your lives? And the second question is, what are the gifts you are given? What are the gifts? You know, so many times, especially during the nomination season, a lot of people say, I don't know what gift I have. I don't have that kind of specialty or gift. I'm not good at such things. Yes, sometimes people just say that because they are humble. I know you are all humble. Just like Jesus, you are humble. Or people say that because they didn't have enough time to ponder, oh, what am I good at? What is God's gift? What am I calling to do? Why don't you take time and discover your thing, your gift? And we need to think and question. That's the second question. And the third one is, before that one, with the gift and calling, we need to question, does it bring joy to me? When I help people, when I do ministry, when I do something, does it bring joy? We need to question that. And the last question is, where do you see around you the greatest need in our church, in your neighborhood and community? And what can we do with those needs around us? So these questions, I believe these three questions can help you and me search for and develop our God-sized dream, which might be different from your day job. So Jacob, he made a stone, a top, probably that was the moment in his life. Ah, that was the day God changed his life. And that was the day he was reminded of God's calling. What is it for your life? I think many of you know Paul David Hewson. Oh, yes, not this. Do you know this guy? Maybe you remember him by Bono. Yes, now I see some of you, yes. His name is Paul David Hewson. You know him by Bono, a rock star. He has his dream, which is not his day job, musician. His dream is to eliminate world hunger issue. He likes rock and roll, I'm sure. It is his job, and that has blessed his life and family. However, the big things he is always talking about is eliminating world poverty. He was always focused on Africa and poverty. And he has been in places, many places, and worked on the project. And he has spoken at many college graduations. A few years ago, he spoke at a Ivy League graduation, and he delivered a commencement address at a college graduation. When you give a commencement address, they put a robe on you and give you a microphone, just like Bono. So Bono, he came walking out of his hairy, flowing, his hair, and boots. And there were a lot of Ivy League graduates. They all stand and cheered on him. And he got up there, and he opened his speech saying, "I have never spent one moment of my life in a freaking college classroom." Then he started sharing his dream about what people could do to eliminate world hunger and the project he was working on. He was so passionate, and he ended his speech by saying, "Okay, this is what I'm doing. This is my dream, my thing. Then what are you, Ivy League graduate, going to do with yours? What are you going to do?" So he demonstrates what life means. And he demonstrates that life is more than success. It is about service. He found his stone, just like Jacob's stone, his identity, and God-sized dream. And he keeps working on it. And let me tell you, there is something more in our lives, and we don't want to miss it. You know what? I'm going to keep challenging you, and me, myself as well. I'm going to keep challenging you to work on discovering the work of God, the plan that God has in your life. That is your identity. That is your birthright. And that is God's dream in your lives. How about your children? Do you think your children are too young? When your grandchildren? Samuel, he heard God's calling and found his God-sized dream when he was little, in the priest Eli's home. And do you think you are too old? Let me tell you, Moses, he heard God's calling, God-sized dream in his life when he was 80 years old. You know, once a month, I go to a nursing home because of that one. 7 or 8, sometimes more than 12, elderly people in the room, most of them in their 80s and 90s, who knows? Moses found his dream age of 80. We can't say we are too old. God has created each one of us for God's purpose. And this week, I want to encourage you to find your God-sized dream. If you already found and worked on it, I want to encourage you to continue. If you have not, why don't you ponder? What is it? And let's dream a God-sized dream. Amen. I don't know how you feel, but when we have the communion and remember Jesus' love and sacrifice, we need to remember Jesus Christ, He had dream in our lives. He had hope. He promised, I will be with you, so get to work. Get to work. So as we share the bread and wine, we say yes. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Lord, bless each one of us and these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ so that as we take them, Lord, make us the body of Jesus Christ redeemed by His blood. We say yes, Lord. Yes. Help us find your plan. Help us find strength in you. Help us find courage to make the dream true in our lives by your Spirit. Amen. Please fill the first layer for the bread. This is the body of Jesus Christ.